Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello everyone, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm not Scott Telford. He is currently away for... He's getting married tomorrow, which is rather nice. But I'm Rich. I'm joined today by Rach.
Hi.
And Ewan.
Hello.
And yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, the nominees and categories were announced for the Game Awards 2018.
Ta-da!
Standard thing we do every year is we're going to look down all of the categories, look at the nominees, and talk about who should win, who will win, and just generally natter about what's going on with the Game Awards.
And who we personally want to win. I think that's what we're all here for.
Yeah, that's very true.
I mean, so, if I had a little finger puppet that was Scott Telford, he'd be going, Celeste!
For the fact that Scott isn't here, this is the worst time to get married, sir.
This Scott, one goes out to you, Scott
Telford. Scott has played literally everything, like pretty much everything on this list he has played.
Yeah, he bleeds in 8-bit.
He does, yeah. I'm intrigued as to what his life is outside of this office. Like, I genuinely can think he's just constantly plugged into something. It's honestly admirable. Like, I wish I could just sit and play absolutely everything, but that's not the case. So, we're going to start things off with, we've got a bunch of categories down. Just trying to find a good one
to
start with.
The big one, what game of the year, right?
We could do that. We could end with game of the year.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. This is why Scott hosts these things.
Hosting. Brought to you by Rich Hudson.
Brought to you by me. Okay, let's kick things off with something relative. Let's go for genres. So, best action game.
Mm.
So, for best action game this year, we've got Call of Duty Black Ops 4, Dead Cells, Destiny 2 Forsaken, Far Cry 5, and Mega Man 11.
Hmm.
Okay.
Far Cry. I was having this conversation yesterday, and I think it's really funny because there have been a lot of good games in 2018. There have been a lot of good games. No one's denying that. But there have been a select few amazing games and a few good games, which is why I'm confused that Far Cry 5 was on there until I realised that, oh yes, maybe we've had a really big kind of cluster of awesomeness towards the end of the year.
Far Cry 5 happened.
Yeah.
I remember actually being kind of excited for Far Cry 5. I've not played any of the Far Cry games, but
yes.
5 caught my eye. I think partially because of it, like, its political stuff, but I like the idea of that setting and I like how riled up it got Americans about.
Yeah, I didn't end up playing it, but the trailer was spectacular.
Yes. I've heard it's okay.
It's overall. Very okay. It's
very okay.
Yeah. Action-wise, I think it kind of tries to subvert the Ubisoft open world formula because they make a big deal of it. Like, you break out and then it's like, go climb that tower, and then you climb that one tower and that's the only tower you have to climb in the entire game, which is obviously taking the piss out of the earlier Far Cries. But yeah,
I think it's safe to say that Black Ops has got this one.
I think I can agree with that, to be honest, because I mean, Black Ops 4 has been a bit of a roller coaster ride for the game, which we'll get to in actually the podcast that's coming out on Friday.
Spoilers.
But I can see what you mean. The only other thing I want to acknowledge in this is Destiny 2 Forsaken, which I'm assuming is the DLC pack.
Yes.
Destiny 2. Yet apparently that means they can release that as like essentially a new game to be rewarded.
It did change up a lot about the base game, yes. I suppose.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's one of those constantly gaming. It's one of those constantly like evolving games. I guess it's the thing with one thing that I can't wrap my head around, but you have like a platform now. And then, like, different developers will build on that. So, yeah. I know Destiny has a really strong fandom, so I wouldn't be surprised if that's in contention because, but like you said, Black Ops 4, you know, it seems like a return to form for the franchise.
Yeah, I feel like it's got that in the bag. Yeah. So, best action adventure game: Assassin's Creed Odyssey, God of War, Marvel's Spider-Man, Red Dead Redemption 2, and Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Oh, well, it's got to be God of War, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's quite easy to like scratch off Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Not that they're not good games.
Not good games at all,
but when you're up against things like God of War, Spider-Man, and Red Dead, it's quite a hard category.
Oh God, Red Dead.
Yeah, and like not to like even just spoil what I think of like the game of the year, I think those three are the standout releases of the year.
Absolutely.
And in terms of action adventure, I think God of War, actually, no, I probably would agree with you on that, because there's a lot of, I loved exploring God of War's world. Like, you go through all the, like, the Nine Realms, and it really loves Norse mythology. Mm. And Red Dead, obviously, you know, Rockstar have a massive kind of recreation of the Old West, and Spidey has that stunning recreation in New York, but I think God of War probably may clinch that one.
I think the thing about it is when you put those three together, and we'll get to this with Game of the Year as well, but, like, you've got those three. Spider-Man had the biggest reach.
Yes,
to a bigger audience. God of War was like technical wise, I think like Red Dead and God of War are really high up there. But obviously, God of War had a smaller reach compared to Spider-Man. But Red Dead has had that same kind of reach. So it's an interesting one to get to. But for that, I'm not entirely sure which would take it. But I do agree that God of War might win that one over Red Dead.
Yes.
I think Red Dead might be set for bigger things. But we'll get to that.
Just to
breeze through a couple. So best family game.
Ah.
So, Mario Tennis Aces, Nintendo Labo, Overcooked 2, Starlink Battle for Atlas, and Super Mario Party.
It's got to be Labo, surely.
Well, Labo was, like, hugely innovational, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot. It's very cool. It's a lot of
fun. Did it deliver, though? Did you guys play it? I played it briefly.
No, yeah, I watched a lot of videos. I watched John Carpenter do the Halloween theme while playing
the
Labo.
Oh, he hated it, didn't he?
Yeah.
He absolutely hated it.
It was so good. But I still feel like, after my 5 minutes of playing it, that it's a play for 5 minutes game.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Again, best family game.
Hats off to Nintendo for incorporating it to various things. Like, you can use it in Mario Kart as well, which I think is very clever, but it's like, oh, we can do this with it, but then when you've done that, you think there's not much else with it.
Was Starlink the Ubisoft the one that I've heard very controversial things about?
Oh, right.
It was the ships you build and you stick them on your controller.
Yes, and how the physical edition was a bit awkward.
It's like a Skylanders kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, but so Scott was talking about this. With the if your ship dies, that's it. You have to, like, pay £25 for another ship.
In order to go into a mission to play, and if you die, you have to go back to a checkpoint. You need a second ship to take on from the checkpoint. So if you only bought the base edition, if you only bought the base edition and you have one ship to play with, which you do off the bat, then you essentially only get one life, and if you fail something, you have no checkpoints.
Interesting, because Toys to Life, I thought, was going to be the next big thing. Like, when Disney Infinity,
it really was.
And I loved
Lego Dimensions, Skylanders, Disney Infinity, all massively popular.
Yeah.
This turned up, and when Scott was ecstatic about it.
Yes.
And especially
I think it
for the Star
Fox
one. Yeah. I remember how deflated he was when he came in and he was like, this is how it works, this is what it is. It seems like they've taken this amazing, like you said, Toys to Life thing, and they've turned it into this weird monetization thing that feels really predatory, and it's a shame.
It probably says something that if Lego and Disney can't sustain that format, what hope does Ubisoft have? And it's a shame, because I really wanted to check out Lego Dimensions. Yeah.
Lego Dimensions.
And like, you can still
find
all those really cute Disney Infinity figures on bargain shelves and game and stuff. So it's actually quite sad, and if that's its lasting, you know, last hurrah, last swing at the older, I don't know, swing at something.
A wallet.
That'll be a bit
sad. What
about
winners then? Who do we think's winning it? I think Overcooked.
Overcooked 2,
it's
for me. Mario Tennis Aces, the demo was all right, but it wasn't that interesting. I was really excited for it, but it just didn't really land.
Yeah, Overcooked is just genius.
But yeah, I think Overcooked 2 is probably nabbed this one. Multiplayer game.
Mm.
So Black Ops 4, Destiny 2. Fortnite, Monster Hunter World, and Sea of Thieves.
Oh, as much as I'd love Monster Hunter World to win it, what a game, by the way. It's got to be Fortnite, isn't it?
It's most likely going to be Fortnite.
It's got to be Fortnite.
Because it is just, out of those five, it is the biggest.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to ruin anyone else's happiness by talking about it.
No, fair enough, absolutely.
Yeah.
You can disagree.
I just don't want to, I'm starting a whole big thing now. But, like, you
there's
know,
not it, really much to say, is there?
It's one of the things I just don't understand.
It is very good.
Yeah.
So many people play it. They are constantly, like, you know, supporting it. So
just the last sort of relatively small category. I say small, it's not small. But the best esports game, because obviously esports is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an esports game category here. So on here we've got Counter-Strike Global Offensive, Dota 2, Fortnite, League of Legends, and Overwatch.
I'm annoyed that Rainbow Six Siege isn't on there, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's really weird, because I don't watch that much esports, but I do actually quite like the Rainbow Six Invitational Tournament, because there's some really interesting kind of tactics that evolve from that.
Yeah.
The closest one on there, I would say, is Overwatch.
Oh, but I was going to say between Dota and League of Legends.
I mean, just looking at this, there's no Rocket League either.
Mm.
RLCS.
Obviously, will be
RLCS
very upset.
Is actually fantastic. I've watched quite a lot of RLCS, and it's really good fun.
Mm.
The championship series for Rocket League. But the one thing I want to talk about with the esports one is there's no player unknowns battlegrounds.
Well, it's not
now,
really an east.
So this year was the first time that PUBG Corp and Bluehole, it's PUBG Corp now, went all out, right, we're doing a big tournament. So they did the PUBG Global Invitational, PGI, out in Berlin. Myself and Jules and our main man Heppel got to go there and see the event and see the first-person tournament, and it was amazing.
Mm.
It was genuinely brilliant. It breathed so much more life into a game that I don't play so much anymore because it does get boring. But the fact that it's been completely ignored here is interesting. But speaking of Osley, who you've mentioned, who's one of our editors on the gaming channel. Hello, Osley, if you're watching or listening.
Or editing.
He is a big esports guy. He knows his esports stuff. And he was just saying to me before we came in to record this that Fortnite hasn't really got a proper esports scene.
Mm.
It doesn't have open tournaments. Essentially, what their equivalent of their big esports thing is getting a bunch of streamers in to play some games, and that's kind of it.
I guess because it's very I'm going to use the word mainstream, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
But the fact it's more the fact that it's not an open tournament. What they do doesn't feel like an actual tournament for people. It's more just let's get the popular people in to play rather than the people who are genuinely skilled. Not to say that the people who are popular are bad at the game, but just it doesn't feel like a proper esports tournament compared to what we've seen before. So the fact that Fortnite's on here for him is a bit of a contentious one. And I don't know much about the esports scene overall, but you'll have to let us know in the comments.
Yeah, I'll be very surprised if that is actually the case with Fortnite.
But
if Fortnite
wins
over Dota,
yeah, I mean, Dota,
or League of Legends, I'll be surprised. Yeah.
The International is probably the biggest esports event there is,
or even CS:GO.
But I think personally, it's going to go to either Dota 2 or it would go to Fortnite. To be honest, there's a big chance it will do purely popularity wise.
It's community. What do you call it? Where it's
community
normal
driven.
Community driven.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
There you
so
go.
It
we
could
have
go to Fortnite, but I think it should go to Dota 2. Personally,
cool. I agree.
But the question I have for you two, when it comes to Fortnite, do you think Fortnite will still be on these awards? On being nominated for this stuff next year, this time next year, do you think it'll still be there?
I think it's got some life in it, yeah. As much as I, like, never play it, I admire it.
Mm,
because when did it first come out? I want to say it was, like, 16?
So
it was in beta. It was in beta for ages.
It was late 2017, I think it was.
Was it 17?
Yeah, because I remember it being...
Feels like longer.
It was a couple of months after, about 5-6 months after PUBG.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like longer. It just has so much support, and, like honestly, I honestly think it's in here for a long haul.
Yeah. Okay, so best independent game.
Mm-hmm.
So, Celeste, Dead Cells, Into the Breach, Return of the Obra Dinn, and The Messenger.
I'll just embody Scott for a second
and
again.
Say Celeste.
Celeste.
I think, Celeste has done very well this year. It's made some big waves. Speaking of big waves, it is also nominated for Game of the Year, which is a big deal, especially when you look at what it's up against.
For an indie game as well, that's incredible.
Yeah, for an indie game, it's done very, very well. Dead Cells looks amazing. It's reviewed very, very well. Into the Breach and The Messenger, don't really know what they are,
no,
if I'm being perfect.
Be
honest
sorry.
With you. Return of the Obra Dinn is an interesting one. Have you heard of this, Ewan?
No, I have not.
So, have you heard of a game called Papers, Please?
Yes, I have.
Which is astonishing.
Yes.
It's incredible. So the guy that made Papers, Please has made this new game called Return of the Obra Dinn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a murder mystery on a ship. And you can walk around in first person.
I am intrigued.
And you have a notebook and you fill it in and stuff like that. I've not played it myself. My partner
has.
Are
you Poirot?
And she's been, like, she's genuinely been sat there playing it with her notebook open.
But are you Poirot,
and
though?
No, you're not.
But are you?
Oh.
She's been playing it with a notebook open, like she's taking notes while she's doing this. It's a big, proper big murder mystery game, and
that's
apparently
cool.
It is astonishing. It's gorgeous as well, because it's like everything's rendered in 3D, but it's only in two colors. It's like Game Boy Camera 3D. Looks
I like
really
a bit
quite
of, like,
cool.
Art direction.
Like when you look at it, you think, yeah, this is very sort of. I can see this being an evolution of the art style of Papers, Please. But that's what's up for best independent game. But I think, yeah. As you said, channeling Scott.
Satisfy the spirit of Scott, say Celeste.
He's not dead, Ewan.
Ah, no, he's dead.
I mean, yeah,
dead.
Celeste.
Yeah.
I think Celeste is going to go too. So here we go. Best performance.
Oh, I like this one.
So last year we had some good...
I know who you want to win
last it. Last year it was a really, really good category, which obviously... I cannot remember her name for the life of me, but she's the woman who
deserved last year.
The video editor who became a motion capture voice actress for this game and won awards for it, I think, is amazing.
Really cool.
But this year, it's quite interesting. So we've got Brian Deckard, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly, as Connor from Detroit Become Human.
Oof.
We've got Christopher Judge as Kratos in God of War.
Good pick.
I do apologise for the absolute butchering of this name, but Melisanthi Mahut as Cassandra in Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Roger Clark as Arthur Morgan in Red Dead Redemption 2. And Yuri Lowenthal as Peter Parker / Spider-Man in Marvel Spider-Man.
It's
much like last year. It's a really good section.
I think both. Because when I came out and did Spider-Man, did the review, I think I said in my review that I thought Yuri's performance as Spider-Man will go down. It's like one of the all-time great.
Incredible.
Because the effort they went to record both takes of him swinging through the city and then when he's like stationary and stuff. Yeah. But particularly as that game draws to a close, he really takes it up a notch.
Wow,
it's really.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything, I'm just saying.
Still not finished yet, guys.
Well,
I'm sorry.
There we go.
I agree with you. And yeah, there is a point where things really start to ramp up in the story and he nails it.
There's a side to Peter Parker that we don't really see that often, and full credit to Insomniac for looking to depict him kind of as a young adult. I'm sure we can all relate to that in our own way.
Being young adults.
Exactly. but the way he embodies that, and the whole story is about him reconciling that with his past and, like, you know, trying to be an adult while also having his responsibilities as being Spider-Man, it's all really fascinating. So not only is he doing a good Spider-Man, he's doing a completely new kind of Spider-Man that we haven't really seen outside of the comics. You know, this kind of adult. It's very interesting. I would personally say Yuri should get this.
Yes, I agree with you on that.
Even though I think Arthur Morgan is one of the best video game protagonists of the century.
But so,
is that based on purely his character or the actual performance that, what's his name?
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah,
Roger Clark.
I think Clark's performance is, I'm not going to say stoic, because Morgan, he's a mixture of things, and obviously the way in which you play him in Red Dead, you can go down the honourable path or the dishonourable path, and that plays into how you'll ultimately come to see Arthur Morgan as a character. So I'm actually curious to see if that impacts where he'll come in this, because everyone is going to have a varying perspective of this character.
Yeah.
I think he does both sides very well, but you are right. I would say potentially that the material he had to work with certainly elevated the performance. And even though he has the better voice, Peter Parker is...
I'd personally think that Yuri absolutely deserves
I think Dad is a good contender as well. Dad is a very good contender. I thought he was perfect.
He was brilliant. Did they replay? I didn't realise that he didn't voice Kratos in the original trilogy, did he?
Is it a new Kratos?
Yeah, I think it was.
New Dad.
I can't remember. I think
that's interesting.
Yeah.
But I think we'd say, would you agree about Peter Parker, about Yuri? Or would you think it should
I think
go
I would.
To
I think
Kratos?
I would. For me personally, it's between Spidey and Kratos, but I would give it to Spidey.
Cool.
Well, it's a discussion. You have to let us know in the comments who you think should get this award.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Best score slash music. So Celeste, God of War, Spider-Man, Ni No Kuni 2, Octopath Traveler, or Red Dead 2. Oh.
You gotta give some love to Ni No Kuni 2. It came out, what, start of the year? It was like April or something.
Yes.
I almost forgot it came out because I've barely played it, but it is gorgeous and the music is very good. So credit there, but it just... Will it get a look in?
Yeah, that's the interesting thing for me as well, because I was going to... Initially, when I heard this question, I was going to say Red Dead hands down, but... There is a delineation there between the score that was composed to the game and the soundtrack, because they actually utilize some country music in there. Like, you have stuff from like Willie Nelson, Josh Homme has a song in there as well. And while the actual old Western music is very good, it's very Morricone-esque. I think God of War with its deep kind of bassy, that. You remember seeing the first advert for that and like that deep kind of...
It's all about
noise.
The atmosphere.
Sorry for everyone at home. Yeah. That kind of noise is really, really... It's an iconic score. It's synonymous with the game. Whereas with Red Dead, you could probably take that music and apply it to any old Western.
What about Spider-Man?
Beautiful score as well. Yeah. But
it's very... It reminds me very much of the Raimi trilogy, which I absolutely love.
Yeah.
But... I think the thing about the Spider-Man one is it's just sort of there to accompany it.
A little forgettable, I'm going to say.
It's like, I love it when it starts to kick in when you're swinging around, but it's the same.
It's not, again, that's not a criticism of the, I think the composition is very nice, but it is very derivative of the superhero genre.
It's
sort
of there
to be. Strength, sorry, elsewhere.
So would you say that God of War probably nails this one?
Yeah.
Best score
I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Best art direction. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, God of War, Octopath Traveler, Red Dead 2, and Return of the Obra Dinn.
Why don't you take this one, Rich?
Well, I mean, again, Odyssey.
Beautiful looking game.
Beautiful looking game, absolutely. God of War, again, also absolutely gorgeous. Red Dead 2, absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But I think in terms of art direction, because I want to say Cuphead won it last year.
It did win it last year.
It's the games that do something different that seems to really tick these boxes.
Where you're going with this, and I completely agree.
For me, it's going to be between Octopath and Return of the Obra Dinn. Because Return of the Obra Dinn is it's a very niche game. Mm-hmm. As I explained, it's like a murder mystery. It requires a lot of attention. This isn't a game you can just sit back and just play. You have to really put your head in there. And just for the visuals of Octopath Traveler, I've not played it myself, but it's stunning.
Yeah.
So I feel like Octopath might nab this.
I would like it to win, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with you guys. I think, obviously, with like Red Dead, it's a beautiful looking game. There's no denying that. Same goes for Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and the variety of environments they have on display in those games is nothing short of stunning. But in terms of having a singular kind of vision for how you want your game to look, I think you're probably nailed on with those two picks.
I think the fact that Cuphead won it last year kind of points this award in that direction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I love a hyper realistic looking game. Mm-hmm. Which is brilliant, but for me, what wins it is something a bit different.
Yeah,
yeah.
So,
cool.
There you go.
So yeah, we're probably going to be Octopath Traveler for best art direction, best narrative.
IMHO.
Best narrative: Detroit Become Human, God of War, Life is Strange 2, Marvel's Spider-Man, or Red Dead Redemption 2.
Easy. Easy. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Easy. The narrative is so good.
I really, really bought into the narrative of Spider-Man. loved it.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me.
It is another hard one. Red
Dead. I think I'm gonna say Red Dead because even though again, like kind of going back to that trio of Spidey, God of War and Red Dead, God of War has a fantastic kind of thing statement about the history of it. The way it reappraises that franchise's own history is nothing short of genius. Mm-hmm. And then you have Spidey, which is trying something totally new with the character. And then you have Red Dead, which is almost like an anti-Western, the way it kind of reconciles like the old West with like the coming of the modern age. And it makes you, again, it kind of makes you reappraise those characters that you thought about originally. And I'm going to say, based on impact and the way I got invested with and the way Red Dead tells its story for that matter, because not a lot of it is conveyed through cutscenes. You have to seek the story out for yourself by finding people in your camp. And by the time I was finished with that game, I was absolutely blown away by how much I cared about everyone in that story.
Oh, you're right.
And I think Rockstar deserve massive praise for that, because any other open world game, they could have just been fodder for like just fetch quests stuff. So I'm going to say that Red Dead not only revolutionized the way it open world games tell stories, I think definitely the narrative of the year for me.
You've won me over, absolutely.
I mean, except for the meat of a storyline, you've got Red Dead with all this stuff. But for me personally, like I really love the Spider-Man one as well.
I know. It's not
as like weighty as the Red Dead one. Mm. I think the Red Dead narrative ticks all the boxes in one way, whereas Spidey ticks them in another. It's a very tightly knit, like not, I don't want to say thin, but it's a very focused storyline. Mm. And all how the whole of Spider-Man worked between those three acts and the development of a particular character throughout towards the end of the game. It's like this, I was just completely blown away by how a game, not to say that this game wouldn't have that, but just the fact that there was such an amazing narrative within this kind of game. I loved it. So maybe it's because like with Red Dead, I'm loving what I've been playing, but I've not finished it. I've barely scratched the surface right now.
Yeah.
But Spider-Man, again, I think is amazing as well. But I think for this one, similar to some other ones as well, it's going to be tough between Red Dead, Spidey, and God of War. Mm. It's going to be an interesting one. I think it's going to make some people happy, make some people sad based on which one wins, but it's going to be a tough decision either way.
The whole show is going to be God of War, Spider-Man, or Red Dead Redemption 2.
So, best game direction, A Way Out, Detroit Become Human, God of War, Spider-Man, Red Dead 2. Personally, I think this is going to be Red Dead 2.
Oh, I was going to potentially say A Way Out.
I feel like A Way Out needs some love.
It does.
Is it better than Red Dead?
No,
I think direction is like how much effort you put into the entire game as a whole, and I think the amount that Red Dead has to offer, the amount of boxes that Red Dead ticks,
But again, to a similar degree, what I was going to say with that narrative point, I think A Way Out tells its story in a very unique way,
and it was brilliant.
You know, say what you will about like couch co-op and stuff, but when it came back, people in the industry for that matter would have considered that to be a risk, because we've not really seen couch co-op in a narrative sense for so long.
Yeah, remember when it was first announced, and we were a bit like, so, what's this?
The fact that there are some games out there that don't have split screen in there, for multiplayer, people get very riled up about it. But you're right, you know, bringing it back for something that isn't just bog standard multiplayer could be a big risk.
Yeah, so my personal pick would be A Way Out, and I think the fact that Red Dead has been in so many other nominations,
let's share the love.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think A Way Out definitely does deserve some representation at the end of the year. So I'm going to say that one.
That's fair enough.
Fair enough.
So best ongoing game, the penultimate one we're going to talk about today: Destiny 2, Fortnite, No Man's Sky, Overwatch, or Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege.
Did you say anything after Fortnite?
I'm very happy that Siege has gotten a look in there I'm going to be controversial and say this wasn't the best year for the game. There were certainly some issues with it, I thought. You know, some of the updates weren't particularly as meaty as people would have potentially liked them to be.
Yeah.
But I think that game has a really strong platform. And in terms of booking the trend of, you know, when a game gets released, that's considered the pinnacle of its popularity. And then Siege has completely flipped that on its head, because it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah. And again, I think probably, I know Overwatch is fantastic with this. I love the Overwatch community and I love what they do with all of that. But Siege, the way it just keeps, it's the little engine that could. I mean, I'm saying that about like a multi-million like dollar video game franchise.
It is a title that when you look at it in this ecosystem, it could have arrived and just done nothing.
Yes.
But it's become such a massive thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can we repeat the title of the section though? What is the award for?
Best ongoing game.
Ongoing game. Mm. So, I mean, Siege does fit that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. So, yeah, I'm going to say
But again, I think it could be a case that Fortnite turns up and steals it.
Oh, it's definitely going to be Fortnite. Don't get me wrong. They're winning it.
You've got to get those new dances in there.
Yeah, not, exactly. that it's not deserved. Like I did mention before, they've been constantly sort of innovating with Fortnite, and it is a massive game.
Mm-hmm. No Man's Sky kind of fell off the radar. Came back and then
No Man's Sky?
No Man...
It sort of came back. They did a big update and everyone was like, this is really good.
No Man's Sky might be having... I know that was massive when it came out. Like, obviously, for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, don't rule No Man's Sky out.
True. But again... And again, Destiny 2, like the stuff it's up against, it's kind of a given. Yeah. It's going to be between, I think, mainly between Fortnite and Siege, Overwatch potentially, but I think No Man's Sky and Destiny 2 aren't going to even get a footing anywhere, which is, you know, kind of a shame for the fans of those games. Mm-hmm. But here we go, the big one, Game of the Year. So nominated this year is Assassin's Creed Odyssey, God of War, Marvel Spider-Man,
no way,
Monster Hunter War, Monster Hunter World, Red Dead Redemption 2, and Celeste. So you've got all these big games, and then there is Celeste just plonked
at the end. Celeste is in there. Unfortunately, she's no winning.
No.
She's not.
Going home alone.
I mean, to be honest, to be put into that category
is
an achievement in itself.
Exactly.
For an indie game, that is mental.
Exactly.
Let's face it. I mean, Scott was ecstatic. Again, we keep talking about Scott, but he adores Celeste. And if Celeste walked away with it up against those things, it would be the biggest twist in video game history, let alone whatever other video game twist I can pull out of my head. But, you know, it would be an incredible achievement for the Celeste team.
Look at What Remains of Edith Finch last year.
Yes.
I know that wasn't the Video Game Awards, but, I mean, you can be...
It did walk away with one of them, didn't it?
You can be surprised.
Was it a Golden Joystick or... something.
I can't remember Josh Brown's man for Edith Finch. He loves that
game.
It won a Game
of the Year award.
Yeah. And it did really throw people, but it shows that this could happen. But again, I think Odyssey, maybe not. Monster Hunter World, it was popular, but I think, similar to what I've said before about there being a big draw for these games, it's not as big. But again, it's going to be between God of War, Spider-Man, and Red Dead 2. And in reality, from a perspective of...
It's got to be Red Dead.
From the perspective of like the industry looking at it, God of War ticked so many boxes well.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Red Dead and Spider-Man had such a bigger audience to tap into. God of War looks amazing, and I do want to play it, but it didn't get me invested before release compared to something like Spider-Man or something like Red Dead. I mean, when Spider-Man came out, Sony was straight away saying, okay, this is already completely obliterated God of War.
When
you look back to when was it, like March or April, that was huge at the time. So
the thing is, though, does that not sort of add a point to God of War? Because for me personally, like, I was like, oh, great, God of War. I've never played the other ones. Mm-hmm. But then when it came out, and it sort of had that amount of impact, and everyone was talking about it, I was like, wow, okay, this must be good. Because it started off with that sort of smaller, sort of almost cult, and then caused someone like me who's never played the other ones to want to buy it.
I'm in the exact same position. Because I was never particularly interested in the OG God of War games. But again, I think the way the industry has, it's been a very self-reflective look this year, I think, on the way, you know, we've had talk about, like, you know, crunch has been like in the headlines a lot, and we're talking a lot about the way we kind of consume games and the way what games have to say. I think God of War has a very salient point, and I'm again, I could potentially see that winning for that reason, because the way it contributes to the gaming industry in a certain way. I think Red Dead definitely deserves it on like in terms of what it achieves.
Yes, absolutely.
It's hard.
It's very difficult, but I would not be upset if God of War were. Yeah.
To be honest,
I think
anyone wins.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if it's between those three, I think if Spider-Man won it, it would be a bit of a shock, because as much as I think all three of them could equally get it, I think Spider-Man, out of the three, is probably the least likely. It's
going
to go to Red Dead 2 or God of War. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to... We'll have to wait and see, I think. But either way, I think we can narrow down. It's going to be one of those three.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see what everyone else thinks.
Yeah, you'll have to let us know about which one you think should be Game of the Year. Could it be Celeste? Do you think Celeste should walk away with Game of the Year?
I love an underdog.
Yeah, it'll be an amazing content day for when the Game of the Awards actually are, which I should have written down, but I don't actually have
it's
written down.
It's the 6th of December, I'm 6th pretty
of December.
Our saviour, our hero, Rage.
I think so. I mean,
I'm sure there'll be more podcasts.
I've got terrible memories. Terrible memory.
The Game Awards. But thank you very much for watching. If you're on YouTube, thank you very much for listening. If you are on...
Wait.
any kind of podcast service. Did you forget we were recording a podcast?
Wait, what? We're being filmed? Hello.
What's that camera doing?
But anyway, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for tuning into the What Culture Gaming podcast. I have been your host, not Scott Telford, but Rich Hudson, joined by Rach.
Also not Scott Telford.
And Ewan.
He was always trying to be Scott Telford.
Thank you very much for listening and or watching. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Cheerio.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.